That's great. Thank you. Well, the voice is not much today, but I'm going to give you all I got today. All right? It's better today than it's been in several days, so it's on the way up. We're grateful. But I don't want you to concentrate on my voice today. Just want you to concentrate on God's Word, because that's what really matters. So we have one more king to consider for a good character study in Scripture, and that's King Hezekiah. So we look at Hezekiah 32 this morning. You've been trying to find that, right? It's not even in there, is it? Let's try 2 Chronicles 32. Just thought I'd give you a little adventure today. We're reading God's Word carefully, so it's fun to look for something that's not there. 2 Chronicles 32 is where we are today as we think about Hezekiah. Hezekiah was king of the southern kingdom of Judah around 720 BC. Kings and Chronicles both go to great lengths to tell us about old Hezekiah. And they rank Hezekiah right up there with David. 2 Kings 18:5 says Hezekiah trusted in the Lord God of Israel. Not one of the kings of Judah was like him, either before him or after him. So you see what kind of ranking God's Word, the writers of Kings and Chronicles, gives Hezekiah in his life. When it all seemed hopeless for Judah, along came Ahaz's son. If you can imagine that, gratefully, he was not much like his dad. Hezekiah was a man of his own and a great man. Scripture doesn't show him, though, as perfect. We do find that even though he's not perfect, it does give him high praise for his devotion to God and for the feet that he put to that devotion for God. Hezekiah, his name means the Lord strengthens. Now, you want to rename your son, right? Or your grandson, or you want to suggest a name for a child? Hezekiah's good. I don't know how they'd be treated in today's world, but the Lord strengthens is a great name. Let's talk about a few of the things that Hezekiah accomplished. I just want to give you kind of a bullet list or a bucket list, some of the previous events, and they all revolve around his work cleansing and reconsecrating the temple, everything that occurs prior to 2 Chronicles 32. We find he reopened and repaired the doors of the temple. 2 Chronicles 29:3 tells us about that. He assembled the priests and the Levites from far and wide to come to the temple to get the temple ready and to come and to serve in the temple there. He had some spring cleaning, some spring temple cleaning, if you will. And he tossed all the unclean and idolatrous items that they found in the Kidron Valley, that place that was often used as a place of refuge and to get rid of the garbage, if you will. How many times have we read, as we've been reading through the Old Testament and through these kings, yet the high places were not removed? How many times have we read that? They did this, they did that, they did this, yet the high places were not removed. Yet this was the first king to totally clean out the high places. We find he sends out invites and he held a ceremony to reconsecrate the temple and its servants. He practiced sin offerings and burnt offerings, and he invited the remnant of the northern tribe of Israel to come and to join in worship. How about that? We find he put in place the musicians and the instrumentalists, and he led the people to worship God. He encouraged the people to offer the sacrifices and the thank offerings, and he reinstituted the Passover. What a tremendous thing for his people. And then he practiced even a little evangelism by welcoming the foreigners to come and to take part in the celebrations. So all of these things, Hezekiah was instrumental in putting before the people, and some of the religious reforms that took place, the call back to their spiritual life. How did the people respond to these reforms? Well, they gave tithes, they gave their first fruit offerings, they gave things dedicated to God, and they gave so much the priests had to build storage for it all. They didn't have enough room. And so what a great problem to have, huh? Also, they went out spontaneously, and they went to the high places, and they destroyed the idols of false worship. They just cleaned them out. People said, yeah, this needs to happen, and so off they went to take care of that. Hezekiah himself, we're told, contributed many sacrificial animals for the people to use in their sacrifices. What a great guy. What wonderful things he did. How pleased God must have been with him and with the people for following his leadership. It was a great time to be alive. 2 Chronicles 30, verse 26 says this, "There was great rejoicing in Jerusalem, for nothing like this was known since the days of Solomon, son of David, the king of Israel." And verse 27 says, "The Lord heard their voice, and their prayer came into his holy dwelling in heaven." It was a tremendous time to be alive and to know God and to worship him. There was a lot of joy in Jerusalem, and God was pleased in heaven with what was taking place in Jerusalem with his people. And that's what happens when we're walking in obedience with the Lord, isn't it? There's great joy, both for ourselves and also for the Lord. What a tremendous time. Now, with that backdrop, let me draw your attention to some things that we find in 2 Chronicles 32. The first is this: some tough things happened to a right-on guy. Hezekiah was a right-on guy. Last part of verse of chapter 31 said Hezekiah did this throughout all Judea. He did what was good and right and true before the Lord his God. He was diligent in every deed that he began in the service of God's temple, in the instruction and the commands in order to seek his God, and he prospered. And chapter 32 says, after these faithful deeds. So he's a right on guy. He's doing exactly what God wants him to do. We'd say, way to go, Hezekiah. But in the middle of being a right-on guy, in the middle of doing everything God wants him to do, there are some tough things that come his way. Verse 1 of chapter 32 says, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered Judah. He laid siege to the fortified cities and intended to break into them. Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib had come and that he planned war on Jerusalem. David had his Goliath, and we find that Hezekiah also had a Goliath. His name was Sennacherib. Sennacherib's plan was to destroy all of Judah and to carry off as many goods as he possibly could from this conquered spot. You know, things do happen, bad things even, to right on, spot on people. We can be right where we need to be with God and walking with him, and lo and behold, there's a bad thing that comes our way. People leave us, either by death or just by departure. People disappoint us. Problems surface that we have to deal with. Even though we're right on people, even though things are just right and we're following the Lord, but problems come. They come to us. Hezekiah was a right on guy. He was a guy who looked to God, who trusted God for his shelter and for his help. God allowed this to take place in order that he might demonstrate Hezekiah's trust in him. In the background, I've got for you what's called a bulla. A bulla was used to make a wax seal. This is Hezekiah's bulla. Hezekiah's bulla was found about 9 years ago in Jerusalem. It was ID'd about 4 years ago. So it's a pretty recent discover. It is Hezekiah's official royal seal. And this is what he would use as a document was signed. They would take the seal and they would take wax and they would make that imprint into the wax. And they knew then that this was an official document from this official. Hezekiah's seal is a small circle that represents the sun and also has wings that are outspread and oriented downward. Probably represents God's power and his protecting shelter over his people. God told Hezekiah through Isaiah, Isaiah 31, like hovering birds, so the Lord of hosts will protect Jerusalem. So we see that Hezekiah perhaps has this in mind as he designs his official seal. Hezekiah learned that even though tough times come, even though difficult circumstances come to us, they just give God an opportunity to show up. They just give God an opportunity to prove that he is God. And he does that in your life as well, doesn't he? So we find that things happen sometimes to right on people. Second, we find that he prepared. Verse 3 here. So he consulted with his officials and his warriors about stopping up the waters of the spring. They're outside the city and they helped him. Many people gathered and stopped up all those springs and the stream that flowed through the land. And they said, why should the kings of Assyria come and find plenty of water? And Hezekiah strengthened his position by rebuilding the entire broken down wall and heightening the towers and the other outside wall. He repaired the supporting terraces of the city of David and made an abundance of weapons and shields. He set military commanders over the people. So we find that he prepared. Knowing Sennacherib's plans gave Hezekiah time to get ready, he prepared some defensive measures for the siege. Hezekiah realized the wisdom of counselors and he sought their help. He gathered together those that could help and those that need to be consulted with, his officials, his warriors. You know, it's smart for us to seek out godly counsel when we have a decision to make, when we're facing a difficult situation, we're not sure which direction to go. It's good for us to seek, I didn't say counsel, I said godly counsel. Because I always say opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. So we don't want to just seek everybody's opinion, but we do want to find some trusted folks that we know walk with the Lord and have their heart tuned to him and ask and seek that counsel that we need. But then ultimately, we must depend on God and follow his instructions. No amount of godly counsel can take the place of that. We must follow God's instructions. Well, water was a critical thing in the Middle East. It's kind of getting critical around here too, isn't it? It's kind of critical for the message today. Water's important. Jerusalem was going to need their water, especially during the time of siege. And their enemies needed to be deprived of the water. So for years, Hezekiah had been building a 1,700-foot waterway in the city. That's a picture of part of his waterway in Jerusalem underneath the streets where the water would flow. As you visit there, you can go through the tunnels. Some of them get like this to go through. And if you really want to get adventuresome, you can go to the part that still has water in it, and you can walk through the water if you want to do that. Well, they're now able to take that waterway and to close off the external access to the waters of the Gihon Spring. The Gihon Spring is a spring that flows underneath the Temple Mount, deep underneath the Temple Mount, kind of an artesian spot of water that comes. And so Hezekiah is able to seal off that source of water from the outside and to keep it in the city. He prepared. He repaired the wall portion of the city that had been broken down, and he reinforced them. He even made the wall towers, the watchtowers, taller so they could see farther, and they were being impervious to arrows and things that would come in their direction. He organized his army. He bought a big shipment of swords and shields from a military supply company. He outfitted his army. He got them all ready. Folks, there's nothing wrong with trusting God and being prepared, right? Nothing wrong with that. Some folks, you know, when tornado season comes, you know, we don't walk outside and say, yeah, there's a twister coming. I guess I'm going to see if God's going to take care of me. That's kind of crazy. What do? We seek shelter. You know, we prepare. We have the things we need. We have the place that we need to go. We get ready. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with trusting God. Nothing wrong with being prepared. They're not opposite points of view, if you will. He prepared. Third thing we find, he found courage in God's presence. Verse 6, he gathered together the people in the square of the city gate, and he encouraged them, saying those words that we find over and over again in God's word that are so strong: be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged before the king of Assyria, before the large army that is with him, for there are more with us than with him. He has only human strength, but we have Yahweh our God to help us and to fight our battles. So the people relied on the words of King Hezekiah of Judah. He reminded the people, hey, you want to be on God's side through this, because Assyria is no match for Yahweh. Hezekiah was a man who trusted God. 2 Kings 18:6 says this: he remained faithful to Yahweh and did not turn from following him. 2 Kings 18:5 uses the word trusted. He trusted in Yahweh. That word trust is the idea of casting oneself upon someone or something for security. To cast ourselves, to totally rely, if you will. Hezekiah did earlier have times of doubt. And he did make some bad decisions. After the Assyrians had come and conquered the northern tribe of Israel, you remember many of Judah's fortified cities also were captured. Hezekiah weakened in his faith, and he paid tribute to Sennacherib, 11 tons of silver and 1 ton of gold. We can't even fathom how much that is in our day. He paid that tribute to Sennacherib, king of Assyria. He was relying on them for security instead of relying on God. Well, God showed Hezekiah the folly of that, and Hezekiah once again found courage in God's presence. Even the people were encouraged by Hezekiah's words. He spoke to their heart need. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged. Verse 8, we find the words to help. He is only human strength. We have Yahweh our God to help us. Literally, the word help means to lean one's weight on or to find solid support. Having trouble walking, we'll find that cane that we can lean on, or that walker that we can lean on. We can firmly place our support, our trust in that. Sometimes you find yourself in situations where the only support you have, the only one there is to lean on, the only real help there is Jesus. And He's enough. 2 Kings 19:1 tells us that King Hezekiah tore his clothes and he covered himself with sackcloth and he went into the house of the Lord. And then he communicated by letters to the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah had become a good friend and mentor. Imagine that, a national leader looking to men of God for counsel and accountability. Isaiah wrote Hezekiah a very encouraging letter about not worrying because God was going to take care of the Assyrians. You got to love the next detail in 2 Kings 19 about Hezekiah's response to the situation. Look here. Hezekiah took the letter from the hand of the messengers. He read it. Then he went up to the Lord's temple, spread it out before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord. Hear the words that Sennacherib has sent to mock the living God. Now, Lord God, please save us from his hand so that all the nations of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. Hezekiah is a great example to us in his praying. I encourage you to take time to read that the prayer there in 2 Kings 19 and the other parallel passages. If you want to use the trust acrostic, it pictures his prayer well. The T, take it before the Lord. Hezekiah took it before the Lord. Best place that we can go. When the little kid breaks his toy, what does he do? He brings it to his father to put it back together. And we look at it and go, uh-oh. Not sure I can repair this. But God is in repairing business. Take it before the Lord. The R would be recognize God's greatness. He is the living God. He has majesty. He has power. He is the one true God. So take it to Him. Recognize His greatness. The U, we'd say, would be unload His problems. Truly and literally, cast your cares on the Lord. We're encouraged to do that in Scripture, aren't we, over and over again? Cast your cares on the Lord. He cares for you. Don't be anxious with anything, prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known to God. Peace of God passes understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Unload his problems. He sought God's help. The S would be for seeking God's help. A very simple request. Very short prayer we can pray. Help. Help. Save us. Is the cry. There's no big impressive words here. You know, sometimes we think we got to pray with big impressive words. He doesn't use any big impressive words with God. He's very simple. This says save us. And the T would be to treasure God's glory. Treasure His glory. What's the motive of his prayer? God's glory is his main concern. God's name and his reputation is his main concern. Hey, God, you know this is Sennacherib. You know what he's saying about you. You need to take care of him. Wow, that's some more praying. Now, just when we thought that Hezekiah's problems were all gone, nope, not quite. We also find that he had critics. And critics, verse 9 here of the passage. After this, when Sennacherib, king of Syria, was with his armed forces, besieged Lachish, he sent out servants to Jerusalem against King Hezekiah of Judah. And it's all those of Judah who were in Jerusalem saying, this is what King Sennacherib of Syria says. What are you relying on that you remain in Jerusalem under siege? Isn't Hezekiah misleading you to give you over to death by famine and thirst when he says, Yahweh our God will deliver us from the power of the king of Assyria? And down at verse 15. So now don't let Hezekiah deceive you. Don't let him mislead you like this. Don't believe him. There's no God in any nation or kingdom has been able to deliver his people from my power or the power of my fathers. How much less will your God deliver you from my power? That's part of 17 says he also wrote letters to mock Yahweh, the God of Israel. Verse 18 says, then they called out loudly in Hebrew to the people of Jerusalem who were on the wall to frighten and discourage them in order that he might capture the city. Now, call him a professional discourager. Rabshakeh was, the word means field commander. He was Sennacherib's official spokesman. So he comes riding into Jerusalem. And oh my, he comes to criticize. He comes to sow discouragement. Imagine what he could have done today with social media. Oh, he could have just run rampant with it. What a smear campaign he could have launched. He tries to sow seeds of doubt. And then he tries to sow seeds of discord. Always beware of those that try to sow those seeds in your life. And we must, as a church family, always be aware of those who try to sow those seeds within the church family as well. We're challenged in Scripture, basically, don't fellowship with them. And it's good advice not to hang out with them personally either, because they'll try to affect you. We find that he calls leaders into question. Hezekiah is misleading you. He is deceiving you. Why are you listening to him? He inflated Assyria's own position. Hey, we're bigger than your God. Our God's bigger than your God. Because nobody has been able to withstand us. We've just jolly well marched in where we wanted to and taken over. So what makes you think your God would be bigger than ours? And then he puts out, and we're told in the other passage, in Hebrew printed form, they did pamphlets, leaflets, propaganda pieces. And here we're told he even got on his megaphone to record some audio torture for them in their own language so they'd be sure and hear. 2 Chronicles 32:18 tells us why they went to all this trouble, in order that he might capture the city. Went all this effort to criticize in order that he might gain the victory. Watch that criticism, folks. He had critics. And then we find that Hezekiah sees God take care of things. We like that part, don't we? Verse 20, King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, prayed about this, cried out to heaven, and the Lord sent an angel who annihilated every brave warrior, leader, and commander in the camp of the king of Syria. So the king of Assyria returned in disgrace to his land. He went to the temple of his God. There, some of his own children struck him down with a sword. So the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the power of King Sennacherib of Syria, from the power of all others, and he gave them rest on every side. The annals of Assyrian history record Sennacherib writing that he had shut up the king like a caged bird in Jerusalem. Yeah, right. That night, Hezekiah and his good buddy Isaiah prayed. And as they did, God's judgment fell on the Assyrians. And we have recorded for us that 185,000 soldiers miraculously died that very night. 185,000 soldiers. Some folks trying to make sense of that have said, well, what it was a rat-borne plague, and rats infiltrated the camp and brought a plague, and so the plague passed to all the soldiers and they died that same night. Okay, if you have to do that. You know, we're just told that an angel of the Lord struck them and they died. God took care of it. Isaiah 37:36 says, when the people got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies. End of story. Well, Sennacherib heard about a rumor of war on the home front, caused him to take off back to Nineveh in disgrace, and where he launched a few more campaigns, but after a few years, he was eventually assassinated by his own household. God took care of the situation in order to demonstrate his own glory. Folks, if we don't get in a hurry sometimes, we can see God take care of our situations. But we get ourselves in a hurry sometimes. And we want to do things ourselves instead of letting him take care of it. 1701 BC newspaper headline was probably divine deliverance. Or maybe 185,000 enemies gone. I don't know what it was, but it was a celebration. And that's great. And if only the account of Hezekiah's life ended right there, we'd say, way to go, Hez. Wow. But one more. We find Hezekiah had to learn humility. He had to learn humility. Verse 23. Many were bringing an offering to the Lord to Jerusalem and valuable gifts to King Hezekiah of Judah. He was exalted in the eyes of all the nations after that. Look over verse 31. When the ambassadors of Babylon rulers were sent to him to inquire about the miraculous sign that happened in the land, God left him to test him and discover what was in his heart. Verse 26, then Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so the Lord's wrath didn't come on them during Hezekiah's lifetime. So visitors came from Babylon. And Hezekiah says, hey, let me take you on a tour. Let me show you all the stuff that everybody has brought. I mean, look at all this stuff of our victory. You know, let me tell you about my victory. I want to give you a tour about all the things that I have gained and for myself. You get enough personal pronouns there? Verse 25 tells us his heart was proud and he didn't respond according to the benefits that had come to him. Hezekiah forgot God and he considered himself the master of all his possessions instead of a steward of what God had given. Oh, we get ourselves in trouble right there, don't we? Especially the more stuff we have, the more it fogs our vision, and all of a sudden we can't see God and realize that it's come from him. In Hezekiah's pride, God does something about that. Just to tell you, he allows him to become terribly ill with a life-threatening infection. Has God ever gotten your attention with an illness? He'll certainly do that, won't he? That last round of illness, I can tell you, God certainly got my attention. He reminded me that, you know, it doesn't matter how many beats of your heart you plan to have. I'm the one who holds those. Doesn't matter how many breaths of air you breathe. I'm the one who holds those. I'll give as many as I desire to give. And when I'm finished giving those, I'll stop. And I'm God. And that's a great reminder to us all. We can take a lot of solace in that, that he's in control. He often gets our attention through illness. God confronts him about his sin of pride and his theft of God's glory. That's been the downfall of many a servant of God. We get thinking we're too big. How does Hezekiah respond? He responds in repentance. He does. And we see that repentance in verse 26, or we're told of it. God heard Hezekiah's prayer. He saw his humble heart. He provides healing, and he gives him 15 more years of time. The test of a true believer is not that we never fail, that we never fall. Is there anybody here following the Lord who has never failed or who's never fallen? The test of a true believer is not that. It is that when it happens, we sincerely repent. We ask for God's gracious forgiveness. And we keep on walking with him. An interesting note, 2 Kings 20 tells us that God verified Hezekiah's forgiveness and healing by giving him a sign that the sun's shadow moved in the opposite direction than normal. And that was the sign for Hezekiah of what God was doing and was going to do. Well, good as he was, Hezekiah eventually dies. And all of Judah mourns over his death. He's buried with honor with his ancestors. Now we need to remember Hezekiah is not some fictional character in God's novel. He instead was a real person in God's path from whom we can learn. So what is God speaking to you about today through this passage of Scripture? Maybe there's some spiritual spring cleaning that needs to happen in your life. Maybe God's asking, how's your worship today? How's the worship of your life? Maybe there's a need for you to seek some godly counsel, not just counsel. But maybe you've been listening to too many folks, and maybe God's already said what to do. It's just now time to do what he said and depend on him. Maybe you're one today that needs to take your cares to God. You've been carrying them too long. It's time to pray and lay them in his feet and leave them there. Maybe just to seek his face, to pray and seek his face. Maybe it is to be prepared, but to wait for God to work and see him do something great. Or maybe it is to practice humility and to recognize our stewardship before him. Can we pray? Lord, many of these things that we've examined today speak to us. But Lord, we recognize that your Holy Spirit has a way of bringing truth from your word and applying it to our heart and our life right in the spot where we need it. So, Lord, today help us to say, yes, Lord, we hear you. And to say, yes, Lord, we agree with you. And yes, Lord, we'll do what it is you're asking us to do. Lord, help us to be yielded and available for you today, especially in these moments. In Jesus' name, would you stand?